Good morning, everyone. We're calling to order the July 24th, 2013 variance hearing. I'm Daniel Sider. I'm the acting zoning administrator. Excuse me. I'm joined by Ava Atihara Taylor at the controls, who is going to be our executive secretary running our hearing this morning. Before we get into the substance of our hearing, there are a handful of housekeeping items that I do need to go through. Please bear with me. These are tedious, but they're important. The order of presentation, after we call an item this morning, the applicant or the owner is going to be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments on how the five criteria needed to justify variance have been met. The applicant should also submit the declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Proponents are then allowed 3 minutes to speak on behalf of the project. Opponents are allowed 3 minutes to speak as well. If any public comment was made, the applicant or the owner is allowed an additional 3 minutes for rebuttal if he or she chooses. Following that, I may or I may not ask questions of the applicant or members of the public. And lastly, I will take an action on the item. Typically, that action is either to continue it, to take the matter under advisement, or to grant or deny the application. Consent calendar items are an exception to what I've just discussed. There are three items on the consent calendar today. Items on the consent calendar are matters that we typically consider to be routine. If you would like to speak on one of these items, please step forward when the items are called. Otherwise, these applications will be granted. And we'll get to those in just a second. There are five criteria needed to justify a variance. They're contained in Planning Code Section 305C. Finding number one is that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other properties or uses in the same class of zoning district. Finding two is that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of the specified provisions of the code would result in a practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. The third finding is that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other properties in the same class of zoning district. Fourthly, that the granting of such a variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. The fifth and final finding is that the granting of such a variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. Now, no decision on a variance is final until a decision letter is issued. Due to the department's current backlog, decision letters can take up to 2 months to complete from the date of this hearing. Of course, we aim to beat that substantially, but we do ask for your patience here. If you wish to receive a copy of the decision letter, please complete the sign-up sheets sort of at the front right of the hearing room and provide your contact and mailing information. We do, of course, send decision letters to applicants, so if you are an applicant, please do not fill out the contact sheet. Once the decision letter is issued, it does carry with it a 10-day appeal window. During that time, the decision can be appealed to the Board of Appeals. And this can apply regardless of whether the decision is to grant or deny the variance. A few final matters. There will be a public comment period at the end of our hearing today, during which we'll hear from any member of the public on items that are not on today's agenda. Each member of the public will be allotted 3 minutes. As you can imagine, private conversations are very disruptive to the hearing. While we do, of course, encourage parties to meet and discuss the cases at hand, please do so outside of the hearing room. I'd also ask at this time that everyone turn off their mobile devices completely, tablets, phones, iPads, the works. Even in the mute position, if your devices are on, they can interfere with our audiovisual equipment. Our next variance hearing is scheduled for August 28th, 2013. And audio recordings of today's hearing and other hearings within the last couple of years are available on the Planning Department's website. That wraps up our housekeeping. Thank you for your patience on that. And let's move forward to the items for continuance. I don't believe we have any items for continuance today.
No, there's none, but we have three in the consent calendar.
Let's move on to the consent calendar then.
Okay, as mentioned, three items in our consent calendar. Item number one, case number 2013.0725V 2538 3rd Street, rear yard modification variance sought. Item number two, case number 2013.0148V 427 Noe Street, rear yard variance sought. Number three item, third item, case number 2012.1075V 43 Powers Avenue, rear yard variance sought.
So this is the opportunity for any member of the public opposed to the variances at 2538 3rd Street, 427 Noe Street, or 43 Powers Avenue to make their comment or make their opposition known. All right. Seeing that there is no public comment on any of these three items, I'm going to close the public hearing and grant each of these three requests subject to standard conditions.
Going to item number four, case number 2013.0146V, 80 to 82 Sycamore Street, dwelling unit exposure and rear yard variances sought. Is the sponsor of this project here? Would you please approach the mic, sir? You have 5 minutes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are here to, my name is Luis Butrago. I live in Martinez, California. The property was owned since 1954. Our family, there's seven brothers and one sister that were left, that from our dad bought it in 1954. And my brother lives there. What we're trying to get this straightened out here. He's been disabled. He's deaf and mute. He lives with his wife and his daughter there. And we're trying to make it better for him, the living standards, because the building is two stories, two flats, as we call it, in 1950s. And where they live is like a garage, which we turn into a home so they can live suitable, you know. So that's what we're here for today, to see if we're getting straightened out and getting some kind of arrangement. So, I don't know. Jerry here, he's the one, the architect. He's going to talk in our behalf.
Good morning, Secretary. Jerry Bram, project architect. So, yeah, these guys got, they're looking for exposure, I guess, on the variance for their face clearing the alley, which is 15 feet, which doesn't meet the standard. So it's a physical situation that, they can't overcome unless they widen the alley. So if you can grant a variance for exposure, that'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any members of the public here to speak to this item? Again, we're talking about 80 to 82 Sycamore Street, item number four. All right, seeing none, we're going to go ahead and close the public hearing. My thoughts on the matter are, I think, more or less in line with Mr. Brown and the property owners, and as set forth in the application. Typically, a property such as this would obtain its exposure from a qualifying adjacent street or alley. In this case, Clarion is especially narrow. I believe it's 15 feet. So it is an extraordinary situation, certainly not of the property owner's own making. There is no pattern of mid-block open space here. That weighs on me heavily because a rear yard variance is involved in this as well. The character of development along Clarion is mixed, I think might be one word that we could use here. And it's also important to note that the granting of a variance here would allow for the property to be brought into closer conformity with the usable open space standards of the planning code through the introduction of the rear stair that you're proposing along the Clarion frontage. So given those factors and the other issues raised in your variance application, I am going to go ahead and grant this subject to standard conditions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Administrator. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Moving to item number 5, case number 2013.0449V, 262 Nevada Street, front yard variance sought. The sponsor of the project?
Right, that's me.
And you have your poster with you. Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Can I use the overhead projector?
Yes, please.
So my name's Donald Richard Nyhagen, Jr. I'm the owner of at 262 Nevada Street. So basically, I wanted to just put up a photograph. So I'm requesting that a variance regarding the front setback in order to build on top of the garage that you see in the photograph. Basically, the exceptional circumstances that I've lived since 1999 in a 480 square foot single family home that was built in 1910. It's legal, non-conforming structure built in the backyard area, which is a non-buildable area. It sits against the back property line. The practical difficulty is that I'll put up also the site plan so you can see. So you can see it's at the very back property line. Practical difficulty is that the 480 square foot home, which exists in a non-buildable area of the lot, and because it exists in the back property line, a variance to expand its dimensions up or out would have greater impact on my neighbors, I believe, than my proposal. Additionally, my quote-unquote backyard, because of the nature of the structure, exists in the middle of my lot, and my open area exists in the middle of a lot, and I'd like to preserve it if I can while increasing the size of my home. Here's elevation with the existing and proposed. As far as point number three, I believe the average home size in Bernal is about 1,400 square feet. Mine, again, is 480 square feet. And I'd like to expand the square footage of my home in order to utilize and enjoy my property like those of the other folks around me. As far as, I can show you quickly a picture. This is the open space in the middle of the lot that's looking off the deck of the back structure. The garage was built in 2005. Let's see, point number four is that I believe this is a picture looking up the street where I live. My proposal, I believe, has the least impact on my immediate and adjacent neighbors in terms of the back and both sides. I have a neighbor to my south that has a window on the property line that will be preserved, and also to the north side is an open courtyard. So I believe that my proposal would have the least amount of impact in terms of compatibility, light, air, privacy, and does not deviate significantly from the character or appearance of other homes in the neighborhood, as you can kind of see in this photograph. And finally, I think regarding point number five, I think that my proposal would allow me to exercise my rights as a property owner while not having a detrimental impact on the general welfare of my neighbors or the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any members of the public here that wish to address this item? Okay, seeing none, we're going to close the public hearing. Mr. Sponsor, thank you for addressing each of the five required findings for the variance, both in your application and just now in your remarks. The existing house is extraordinarily small, and expanding it, as you suggest, would likely require a variance and may have adverse impacts on the surrounding properties. I note that the adjacent building to the south has a nearly zero lot line configuration along the front property line, expanding the existing front garage upward to accommodate your proposed art studio would be nearly flush with that, and in that respect, consistent, or at least not inconsistent, with the development pattern in the immediate area, which is, as with the last item, varied. So I am inclined to look favorably on this application, but your Section 311 neighborhood notice is still out. It hasn't yet expired. So what I'm going to do at this time is take the matter under advisement and wait until your notification period is over and make a decision when that period concludes. So thank you for your time today, and let's move on to the next item.
Moving to item number 6, case number 2013.0375V, 17 Coleridge Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor of this project here? Ma'am, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Thank you very much, Allison Davis. I'm the owner of the property. The subject of the variance is my rear stairway. It is rotten. I've been in this home since 1989, and I've owned it since 1997. My rear yard is very much like all of my neighbors. We have a front porch, and then we have a rear access. In order to get to my backyard without that rear access, I'd have to go out my front stairs, unlock a gate, walk down an alley, and come around to the back. For safety purposes and a number of other purposes, including the enjoyment of my backyard, which is now very nice and much nicer than, I guess the picture doesn't really show it, is the extraordinary circumstances. In order for me to enjoy my house and also to feel safe in my house, I need a rear way to get out of my house if there was a fire. The stairway is so rotten, I went out to feed the cats this morning and my shoe went through the wood. So there's no waiting on getting that repaired. We are replacing that stairway, which is in our plans, with a very nice, smaller spiral staircase that'll be made out of wrought iron and powder painted and actually look really nice. My neighbors are very happy that this is happening because the old stairway's an eyesore and the new stairway will be very nice. There's no material detriment to anybody around. In fact, it'll improve the look of the backyard. Everyone in my, if I look out over my back, everyone has back stairs. Mine will probably be the most trendy by the time we get them in. And so it's very much in the harmony and intent, obviously, of the neighborhood, for everyone has some egress in the back. So unless you have any questions.
And I would add, it's a smaller footprint than what's...
Yeah, it is. It's going to be a smaller footprint and obviously nicer. And my contractor won't reinforce it anymore, so it has to be replaced. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you. Are there any members of the public who'd like to speak to this item? Okay, seeing none, we're going to go ahead and close public comment. Thank you for your remarks. As was indicated, the stairway at rear does provide a required means of egress under the building code. Given that, the variance is really only sought today for the reconstruction of a smaller rear deck. And in doing so, essentially the sponsor would enable a decrease in the level of nonconformity with respect to rear yard requirements. It also, I think it's important to note, would afford direct access from the living area, as you suggested, to the rear yard, in keeping with the planning code's usable open space requirement. That is also a reduction in nonconformity. So given all these things, much like the last item, I am very much inclined to grant this, but because the project's neighborhood notification won't expire until August 22nd, I believe, I am at this time going to take the matter under advisement and issue a decision when that notification period runs. So thank you very much. And if we could have the next item when you're ready.
Item number 7, case number 2013.0468V, 1721 Beach Street, rear yard and dwelling unit exposure, variances sought. Is the sponsor of this project here? Please approach the mic, sir. You have 5 minutes. Thank you.
My name's Bobby Wall, and I am the agent for the applicant and the project engineer and designer. The owners are Mr. and Mrs. Majora, and the genesis of this project is Mr. Majora has come down with Parkinson's, and they own the property. It's in the marina district on the flat area of the marina, and it's a garage on the lower floor with a basement in the back and two flats up above, and they live on the top flat. I believe they've owned this property as long as I've known them, and I've known them for over 40 years. And they don't want to leave this property in any circumstances. They've been here for a long time. I'll show you the front elevation. It's your typical Italian-style home flat in the Marina District, and it's just a very nice place to live. And so in their neighborhood, other people behind the garage have put in small little units. And they got this idea from what their neighbors have done, and they thought it would be an ideal situation to either build a studio unit for Mr. Majora so he could have now access to his living area without stairs, which is what he currently has to do now, or they could use it for a live-in nurse to accommodate his needs. And so we looked into the area. Right now, they currently have on the downstairs behind the garage is a workshop and his gym workout room that he used to work out in. They like to turn that into a studio, and they would like to project. I'll show you here. They have an existing sunroom on the flats above, which are here and here, and also here and here. So on the third and second floor is an existing sunroom, and below it is just an open patio. And they would like to fill in that open patio, which I'm showing right there. So they don't increase the footprint of their existing structure. Now, I believe the setbacks in their neighborhood are 25 feet for the rear, and they currently are 14 feet, but a survey of all the neighbors around us, nobody meets that setback, number one. And number two is, of all the adjoining neighbors, they have more yard than anybody else. They are further away from their back property line than all their adjoining neighbors. So we feel that they're definitely in conformance with the existing neighborhood. And that's really about it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak to this matter? No. Okay, seeing none, we're going to go ahead and close the public comment. I think I really want to echo most of the things that you said. This is an unusual situation, to say the least. It is a key lot. The adjacent neighbors go deeper in their lots than does the subject property. The development pattern really is in the immediate area to have smaller rear yards than the 25% requirement prescribed by the planning code. Something else that I think is important here is that the planning code does allow for fences in the rear yard, solid, opaque fences of up to 10 feet in height. And this infill below the two-story pop-out itself would be at or below 10 feet in height. So from a visual impact perspective, I think that we could almost consider this to be as of right, because the infill itself could be completely screened from view by a 10-foot fence along the property line. Given these factors, this seems like a very reasonable application and a case in which the required criteria for a variance have been met. Required neighborhood notice in this case hasn't even begun, so I'm not at this time going to issue a decision, but I am very much inclined to grant this matter. So having said that, thank you for your time, and let's call the next item.
Moving to item number 8, case number 2013.0367V, 778 Vallejo Street, usable open space and exposure variances sought. Is the project sponsor here? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Slider. Reza Kushnevisan, SIA Consulting. The project before you is a four-story building that, if I may have the overhead, is a four-story building that covers, for most part, the entire lot. The two levels at garage level, which is below the sidewalk, and the storage level below it are unoccupied. So this is the section of the building as it stands. So out of the four levels of building here, you know, there's only two levels that are being used as conditioned space. What we are seeking is to be able to allow, you know, for planning department to allow an additional unit and to be able to make use of this wasted space and to be able to place a unit at that location. And I realize that we are far from meeting planning code and exposure, rear yard and all that. And I want to show you what we looked at as far as how we can provide some open space. So the initial thought that came from your staff was to be able to put a roof deck at the top of the building to satisfy some of the open space requirement. And I would like to show you this diagram. I don't know whether I can zoom out. So as per building code, this is a R2 occupancy. We would have a roof deck at fourth level, which requires a second means of egress if it's a common roof deck. The existing set of stairs that are at the back are too steep, and if we were to extend them to the roof, you know, it would require a firewall on both sides, which will not only be intrusive to the neighbors, you know, it's going to create two blank walls right next to them, but also it will devalue the units that are there. The two existing units right now, they open into that mid-block open space. It's an open stair at this time, so light flows through the back of it. And by putting this staircase, and this is the red box that I have for you here, is a size of a staircase that would be required to go all the way from the roof deck all the way to the bottom, which will highly hurt the units that are there existing. So in return, you know, we tried to look at another option to be able to provide some additional open space. And this is the second floor plan, and where we proposed one more bedroom at this level where the yellow space is here. We could retreat and provide a covered patio, which is 6 foot deep or 7 feet wide. We could eliminate one bedroom there and provide some open space at that location. In addition, you know, we went ahead and provided we are proposing to reduce the size of the first floor, reduce the boundary of the building at grade. So this is the yellow area that we have here is what we are going to be demolishing at that level to be able to provide a meaningful patio at grade. So it could be, you know, gardening, you know, going on down there. It's going to be at grade. So we have a 10-foot by 12.5-foot dimension there, which we have the first level of that new unit opening to. That's it. You know, I'm hoping that you could be favorable. The owners are here. If you have any questions, I'm here for any comments you may have. Thank you.
Are there any members of the public that wish to speak on this item? Okay. Seeing none, we're going to close public comment. I think the first thing I'd like to say is to acknowledge and to thank you for working with staff to explore some alternatives here that might bring the property into closer conformity with the planning code. This is something that we struggle with. On the one hand, this is North Beach. The character of housing is high density. The zoning allows for 3 units on this site. The city certainly needs housing, and the conversion of storage space and some garage space to housing, in general terms, is something that we want to support. On the other hand, this is a 20-foot wide by just shy of 70-foot wide lot, deep lot, that is. It's non-complying both with respect to lot area and with respect to rear yard. It's tiny, and it already contains a 2-unit, essentially 4-story building. The existing yard is north-facing. It's shallow. It's narrow. It's closed in on 3 or 4 sides. The quality of that space is not ideal. And it's the only access to light and air that this proposed unit would be afforded. So you know, how do we balance these things, right? We do want to, I want to be flexible to accommodate some growth for housing here. Housing that's in keeping with the neighborhood character, but also housing that's in keeping with the planning code's intent. Housing that's of good quality, which I'm sure is what you and what the sponsor want. I do appreciate your efforts, but I'm not convinced that there aren't ways to craft a project here that is much closer in conformity with the planning code than what we're looking at today. I'd be comfortable with considering the granting of a variance for exposure or for open space. The notion of granting both, in my view, leads to a project that really isn't consistent with the necessary findings or with the planning code or with the general plan. But again, that flexibility to accommodate, whether it's a reconfigured unit that gets exposure from Vallejo Street or a reconfigured egress pattern that allows for a rooftop deck, that level of flexibility seems to me to be appropriate here. If you go through the design exercise and working with our staff and you find that you can't achieve a project that works for you that doesn't require 2 variances, I'm also comfortable disapproving the variance and having you take the matter to the Board of Appeals. I hope it doesn't come to that, certainly. Again, I do think that some flexibility is appropriate here. Again, with the public hearing closed, I think you understand my intent. I am not going to make a decision at this time. I am going to take the matter under advisement and would ask that you work with our staff closely to craft a project that we're comfortable with. Thank you. And if we can have the next item when you're ready.
Item number 9, case number 2013.0392V, 37 Walnut Street, rear yard variance sought. Sponsor of the project, you have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Yaku Askew, project architect with YA Studio. This is somewhat of a unique project in that we were brought onto it after construction was complete. It seems as though most of the work was done under interior building permits, and they forgot about the variance, the required variance permits for this project. But from what we've been able to ascertain from the original documents when my client purchased the property about 6 years ago or so, the property had full lot coverage. It had a rear yard deck that extended to the property lines on all sides. It had a solarium or sunroom that existed in the back. And as part of the interior remodel for this project, they actually reduced the overall lot coverage and increased the open space and basically provided light down to the lower basement level, which didn't previously exist. So in general, it's a reduction of the previously existing volume with the exception of a small section where there's a light well, and they actually did an infill. Fortunately, in this situation, the adjacent neighbor to the north has a zero-lot blank property line wall, which extends higher than the built structure, so it has no impact on any of the adjacent neighbors. We also have 3 letters of support from the adjacent neighbors, which I'll also submit, along with our declaration of posting and some photographs of the posting. During the process of the original construction, it sounds like the owner went through great lengths to discuss with all the adjacent neighbors what the intent of the project was, and so everyone was on board and ultimately supported the project and continues to support it to this day. However, whether it be bad advice from the previous professional record or the contractor, some of the steps were skipped, and so that's why we're retroactively trying to correct the situation here. So I'm available for any questions.
Thank you very much. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak to this item? Okay, seeing none, we're going to close the public comment period. Thank you for your remarks. Thank you for working to bring the property into conformity with the city's permitting process. This is an unusual situation, I think, in a number of ways, particularly that this is a short lot. The extensions that we're talking about here are all relatively minor. We're talking about fillings in of notches and infills here and there. One thing that strikes me as interesting here is that if we were to simply take an average of the depths of the adjacent rear walls of the adjacent buildings, that is, the proposed work, or the work in question, I should say, is all within the buildable area. Were it not for the planning code's 25% absolute minimum for a rear yard, a variance would not be required. Because there is really no pattern whatsoever of mid-block open space in the immediate area, I think that's something that's important, and that weighs on me heavily. On balance, I do think there is justification here for the requested rear yard variance. So like some other cases today, I am inclined to grant this variance, but because the Section 311 neighborhood notice hasn't yet completed, I'm not going to make a decision at this time. I'm noting here that the 311 period expires on Monday, actually, so we're coming up on it. We'll make a decision quite soon on this, but we are curious to see what happens at the last couple of days of the period. If you could be sure to submit those three letters of support, that would be useful to have in the file. Thank you very much, and let's take the next item.
Item number 10, case number 2013.0436V, 1825 and 1827 Scott Street. Rear yard and exposure variances sought. Is the project sponsor here? 1825 to 1827 Scott Street.
Seeing that we don't have a project sponsor, let's carry this over to the end of the calendar, which is
all
not
right,
going to be a whole
long. Item number 11, case number 2012.0146V, 1100 Lombard Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor? You have 5 minutes, sir. Please approach the mic.
Morning. Thank you. I have my affidavit here. Where does that go? Thank you. My name is Garrett Blands, and I'm the co-owner at 1100 Lombard, which is a five-unit residential apartment building located at Lombard and Hyde. The reason for the variance is that the proposed staircases would extend into a 15-foot rear yard provision stated in Section 134 of the Planning Code. The purpose of the proposed staircases is threefold. Its primary purpose is to provide a second point of emergency egress for each unit. The staircases will be accessible from each unit by a rear door from each unit. This will take the tenants to the ground floor, where they will have access to Lombard Street through an egress corridor on the eastern property line. The second purpose of the stairs is that they are intended to replace the existing fire escape on the front of the building. The current fire escape is old and deteriorated. It's particularly ugly, and it's difficult to imagine the current fire escape being very practical, as it requires tenants to crawl out of windows and operate the deteriorated mechanisms that would get the tenants to the ground floor. The proposed staircases in the back are proposed for ease of use and for aesthetic purposes. Thirdly, the rear staircases will provide access from each unit, taking tenants up to the roof to a proposed roof deck. We have had pre-application correspondence with the planning department, the building department, and the fire department, and we have worked closely with each department to understand and address the departmental concerns. Currently, we are working under a permit to replace the pre-existing brick foundation with ground floor support of modern-day standards, to install a five-car garage, and to restore structural integrity on all levels. Additional work to the building includes the aforementioned roof deck, a roof deck terrace, a horizontal addition at the northeast corner of the building, and restoring and improving the neglected status of the exterior and interiors of each unit. Our improvements to the building are designed to be a global cure to the building, which has been existing in a state of neglect for many decades. We have overwhelming consent from our neighbors and tenants, and the improvements are meant to benefit the property and the community as a whole. Next, I'd like to introduce our architect, Nick Poulter. He'll answer the five variance provisions.
Good morning, architect Nick Poulter, Poulter Dunzelli Design, project architect. The variance findings, 1100 Lombard Street is a unique property in its size and configuration in that it was originally on a shared lot with the adjacent single-family dwelling at 1112 Lombard Street. See variance case number 2008.1329V, which was approved on April 16, 2009. This allowed a lot line adjustment, creating two separate lots and a 15-foot rear yard setback for the 1100 Lombard Street property, as well as allowing an easement for emergency egress from the 1112 Lombard property. Practical difficulty or hardship. The 1100 Lombard Street property has a very small substandard rear yard, approximately 400 square feet. Strict enforcement of their 15-foot rear yard setback requirement would prevent the owner from completing his desired upgrade of the building, removal, which includes removal of the outdated existing front fire escape system, replacement of the two rear exit stairs, replacement of the fire escape with the two proposed rear exit stairs, which was designed after extensive meetings with both the San Francisco Fire and Building Departments. This will allow the exit system to be completely upgraded to modern code standards. Creation of a common roof deck, which will allow substitution of a ground level rear yard with common roof deck areas. Preservation of substantial property rights. The granting of a variance is necessary in order to allow the owner the right to maintain, upgrade, and develop his property in the same manner as other properties in the same class of district. Not detrimental to the public welfare. The granting of the easement will not be detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to property or improvements in the vicinity, but will in fact make this property and others nearby safer by upgrading the outdated fire escape system as well as incorporating a new automatic fire sprinkler system and other modern building code upgrades. There is no adverse effect on the master plan. In summary, the requested variance will not only maintain existing valuable housing stock, but also allow us to enhance it by completing the full upgrade to current building code standards. Specifically, the remaining item is the required exit system,
which would
replace the fire escapes. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any public comment on this item? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing. Excuse me, geez. So I do appreciate your responses to the five required findings. That's helpful. I think I agree with most of them. There's a few things that weigh on me in looking at this case. One of them, and while this doesn't speak to the variance itself, it's worth noting, I think, is that the project does involve the removal of some less than aesthetically appropriate fire escapes at the front of the building. And that strikes me as a policy matter to be something positive. More to the question that we're answering today, the question of the variance, the rear yard stairways would afford, as you have discussed, direct access from these units not only to the rear yard, but perhaps more importantly, from a code perspective, to the proposed roof deck, where the usable open space requirement of the planning code is going to be met. Right now, the property is non-complying with respect to usable open space. This would bring it closer, perhaps all the way, into conformity with that particular requirement. The quality of the space on the roof deck versus that available today in the yard, I think, is disparate, and there'll be an increase in the quality of space by having access to that roof deck. These compounded by the fact that there is no pattern, nothing even resembling a pattern of mid-block open space here, to me suggests that this is an appropriate variance, that the findings have been met. And I would say that I am at this point preliminarily inclined to look favorably on the application. Much like other cases here today, the Section 311 neighborhood notice has not yet completed, so I'm not going to make a decision until that notice is complete. But again, it does appear that the required criteria for the granting of a variance have been met in this case. So thank you, gentlemen. And if we can call Scott Street in the hopes that they might hear us out in the hallway.
Okay. Item number 10, case number 2013.0436B, 1825 and 1827 Scott Street. Rear yard and exposure variance is sought.
All right. The applicant isn't here, so what I'd like to do is continue this out by 2 months.
Yes, the next available open calendar would be September 25th.
Let's do that. Let's go ahead and continue this matter to September 25th, 2013.
We'll advise the planner, yes.
And we're now at the end of our calendar. Are there any members of the public here that wish to address us on matters that are not on today's agenda? Okay. Seeing none, we're going to close the public comment. And also, seeing as how we're at the end of our calendar, we are going to adjourn the hearing. Thank you all.